The special favor of Allah, Awliya Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Awliya Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I welcome you to our silsila, the adornment of the saints, in which inshallah we will discuss the various biographies, the lifestyle, the lives of many saints and friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, by the blessings of their remembrance, we will seek some Madani flowers to implement in our daily lives. As usual, let's begin by listening to the virtues of reciting durood, reciting salawat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir Ahli Sunnat, the founder of Da'wat-e-Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Rizavi Ziyai, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. He writes in his booklet, The Blessings of Durood, page number 9, that the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, recite salawat upon me in abundance, as your recitation of salat will be a means of purification for you. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal, by the blessings of this durood, purify our households and our hearts from every type of illness and every type of spiritual impurity. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, the individual we will discuss today in our silsila, the adornment of the saints, he is no ordinary individual. He is a person who is famous throughout the whole world. People all around the world know his name. They even name themselves after him. The person I would like to talk about requires no introduction. He is none other than Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His name is Nu'man and his father's name is Thabit. His kunyat, his title is Abu Hanifa, and he was born in the year 80 AH. His lineage has been mentioned as such, Nu'man bin Thabit bin Nu'man bin Marzaban, meaning Nu'man, the son of Thabit, who was the son of Nu'man, and he was the son of Marzaban. He said that he was a Tabi'i. A Tabi'i meaning a follower or a companion of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, as his teacher was none other than the famous Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My master, Imam Ahli Sunnat, the Mujaddid, the reviver of the Ummah, the scholar of Sharia, the guide of Tariqah, the upholder of the Sunnah, the destroyer of Bid'ah, Allama Mawlana Al-Hajj, Al-Hafiz Al-Qari Al-Shah, Imam Ahmad Rida Khan, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala Alayhi, in his great work, Fatawa Ridawiyah Sharif, he states that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he is from the children of the kings of Qiyan, but his status is greater than being in any need of such a lineage, because his nobility. It does not transpire from the fact that he is from the children of kings, but rather his rank is such that he is the father of many kings, the father of many religious kings. My dear Islamic brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are learning about the great Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was no ordinary individual. Even as a young child, even as a young boy, he was extremely intellectual. He was an intelligent genius. It said a story about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu that many years before in Baghdad, this is when Baghdad was the city or the center of knowledge. And once the ruler of Rome, he sent a messenger to where Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his people to where they lived. And when they reached the city, the king of Rome said to his messenger that I am sending you to challenge the Muslims. And this messenger, he came and he said to the Muslims that I have a challenge for you. And he says to them, if I have three questions for you, and if you are able to answer every question, then I will leave you in peace. I will not only leave you in peace, but I have brought a great amount of wealth with me. And I will give you this wealth of the king of Rome. So naturally, these people, they accepted the challenge of this atheist. And they stipulated a time as to when the debate should occur. And the governor, he gathered together all the ulama, all the scholars, all the Muslim scholars. And he asked the messenger of Rome, the atheist, to ascend the stage and to ask his questions. So this messenger, he ascended the stage and he asked the questions. And the questions he asked, he said, question number one is, what was there before Allah Azza wa Jal? This is the first question he asked. The second, he said, in which direction is Allah Azza wa Jal facing? This was his second question. His third question is, what is Allah Azza wa Jal engaged in at this moment? Now we can imagine these questions upon aqeedah, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Extremely difficult questions. So this messenger, he asked these questions to the people, and these people, or even the scholars, even the Muslim scholars of Baghdad, they themselves were silenced and they could not give an answer. And he said that from amongst all these great scholars of Islam, that there was a young boy who was with his father. And he says to his father that, oh father, give me permission and I shall silence this person. And so his father says, okay, yeah, that's fine. You go and you answer his questions. So this child, he says to the messenger, to the atheist, he says, I shall answer your questions. So the messenger, shocked that this little child, he's going to ask my question, but he said, that's fine. Okay, I'm going to ask you the questions, you give me the answers. The boy said, so first, ask your first question. The boy, we must remember, was not on the platform, but he was on the ground along with the rest of the people. And the atheist was high up onto the platform. The atheist asked his first question. He says, what was there before Allah Azza wa Jal? So this boy, he replies, and he also asks a question. He a counter question. He says, can you count? The atheist replied, he says, yes, I can count. So he says, okay, count to 10, but backwards. Count backwards from 10. So the atheist, he begins to count. He says, 10, 9, 8, 7. He goes to 3, 2, and then 1. And he stops there. But the boy says, but what about before 1? He says, what's before 1? The atheist, he says, there is nothing before 1. And that's how the boy replies. He says, if there is nothing before the numerical 1, if there is nothing before the number 1, then how do you expect there to be anything before the only 1, the greatest 1, the absolute 1, Allah Azza wa Jal? This messenger, taken aback, shocked, amazed, about this young child is answering his questions, but then he quickly moves on to his next question. He asks his second question, he says, in which direction does Allah Azza wa Jal face? In which direction does Allah Azza wa Jal face? This boy, he replied, he asks, or he calls for, he sends for a candle, and he asks for that candle to be lit. And he says to this person, do you see this candle? He says, yes. He says, now this light, this fire, which direction is this fire facing in? Which direction is it facing? The person, he replies, he says, this is fire, this is nur, this is light, this is not facing any specific, any particular direction. So then the boy replies, he says, if this light is not facing any particular direction, then what about the nur as-samawati wal-ard? What about the light of the heavens and the earth? How would he be facing any direction? And the Islamic brothers, then this messenger, he moves on to his third question. And his third question is, what is Allah engaged in at this moment? Now when the messenger, when he begins to ask his question, before he is able to complete his question, the boy interrupts. He says, wait. He says, you are asking the questions, and I am giving the answers. It is only fair that the person giving the answers ascends upon the platform, and the person asking the question, he should move or descend down here. So the messenger thought, that's fair, I'll move down. And so the boy, he rose up on top of the platform, and then he says, okay, now ask your question. So again the messenger asks, he says, what is Allah Azza wa Jal engaged in at this moment? And this boy replies, he says that at this moment, when Allah Azza wa Jal found upon this high platform a liar and a mocker of Islam, he degraded and humiliated him. And as for the one who believed in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, he elevated him and established the truth. The atheist, he had nothing to say. He was quietened, he was humbled, humiliated and disgraced. He was answered by such a young boy, and so he left the city. Subhanallah. From this we understand the true intellectual genius of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was when Imam Azam radiallahu anhu was only a child. So subhanallah, imagine when Imam Azam radiallahu anhu, when he grew up, imagine his intelligence, his wisdom. Subhanallah. It said that this same boy, that as a child he grew up to become a businessman. He was interested in business, and he left seeking Islamic knowledge. He saw his zururiyati deen, the necessities of the religion. But after that he went into trade and he went into business. And he said that he was very successful. He was an extremely successful businessman. And once he was traveling to the market, and on the way to the market he passed by the house of a great scholar. And when that scholar saw this young businessman, extremely wealthy, clean, and he saw these signs of intelligence glistening from his face, the scholar said to him, he said that, son, who do you acquire knowledge from? He replied, I do not study on anybody. I'm a businessman. I do business. I am not seeking Islamic knowledge. And the scholar, he replied, he said, son, I see signs of intelligence in you. If you paid attention to seeking knowledge, then by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will gain a high rank and you will seek an ample amount of knowledge. Later, that same young businessman, remember we're talking about Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at this time a great businessman. So later that same businessman, Imam Azam, Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he returned home, he began to think, he began to contemplate. He thought about what that scholar said to him, that he should seek Islamic knowledge, he should go and acquire knowledge or ilm deen, knowledge of Islam. And this is what he decided to do. And he said that then Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sought knowledge of history, of the history of Islam, of Seerat, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sought knowledge of Arabic literature, of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sought knowledge of ilm al-kalam. This is known as the science of discourse. And he sought so much knowledge that he became one of the greatest debaters of his time, or possibly you could say the greatest debater of his time. And he said that him being so great, a woman came to him, and this woman, she asked him a question regarding talaq, as to how a man, or what is the sunnah method, the best method for a man to grant his wife or to give his wife talaq, to divorce his wife. And Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person who was a specialist in ilm al-kalam, but not fiqh. He was a specialist in aqidah, in the sense of discourse, but not in fiqh, not in Islamic jurisprudence. So he was not able to answer this question. And he referred this woman to another teacher, a famous teacher of the time, who's by the name of Imam Hammad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said to her that you go to him and ask him this question. And when he has given you the answer, then come and also tell me what the answer is. He said that when this woman, when Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he began to think again, he began to contemplate. He was thinking that I am seeking all this knowledge. I have spent so much time seeking knowledge of Islam. But yet, I am not able to answer a simple question, or the question of a woman has come and asked me and I'm not able to answer it. What am I learning? So he became to think, you know, he became anxious, he was worried that all these, you know, he's not able to answer these questions. So he thought to himself that I must seek knowledge of fiqh, knowledge of Islamic jurisprudence. And he said that Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw so much knowledge, so much, that he became known as Imam Azam, which means not only an Imam, but the great Imam. And from amongst the four great Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa being one himself, radiallahu anhu, another Imam Malik radiallahu an, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhum. From amongst these, he was the greatest of them all. And he was a great mujtahid. So much so that Sayyidina Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he says that the fuqaha, the jurists, the Islamic jurists, they are from the children of Imam Azim, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is what the great Imam Shafi'i, a true genius himself, this is what he says about Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And not only Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, but also Imam Malik. He said that once Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to, and he was in the presence of Imam Malik radiallahu anhu. And Imam Malik, who also himself was a great teacher, he sat Imam Azam radiallahu anhu beside him, showing him honor and respect. And then when Imam Azam radiallahu anhu, when he left the gathering, Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to the people, he says, do you know who this individual was? They reply that no, who was he? Imam Malik radiallahu anhu says that he was such an individual. He is so great in knowledge. He is so intellectual, so intelligent, that this member which is right here, if he was to claim that this is gold, then he could prove it. That if this pillar, if Imam Azam was to say that this pillar is gold, then he could prove it to us. This is his logical intellect, his logical intelligence that he possesses. This is coming from Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who himself, no doubt, was a great Imam, a great mujtahid. The grandchild, Hazrat Ismail radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when the father of Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Thabit ibn Nu'man, and he says that Nu'man, the grandfather of Imam Azam radiallahu anhu, was very close to Imam Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was very close to him, and they were friends. And he said that when the father of Imam Azam radiallahu anhu was born, when Hazrat Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born, his father, meaning Hazrat Thabit radiallahu anhu's father, who was also called Nu'man, he took his own child, Hazrat Thabit, to the court of Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon seeing this child, that he prayed and he supplicated for this child. And his supplication, this Imam Hazrat Ismail bin Hamad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is saying this. He says that this supplication, this prayer which Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiallahu ta'ala anhu made, that this has such an effect on Hazrat Thabit. It has such an effect that even his child, Hazrat Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, became such a light whose rays have reached every corner of the world. Subhanallah. And Imam Azam, being such a great individual, such a pious person, yet he was also a businessman, is what we need to remember. And he wasn't a, you could say economically, he wasn't inferior to any others. He was actually superior. He was quite wealthy. He was very well off. And it's mentioned about his clothing that Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his clothing and footwear were of a very high standard. And about his height, it is said that he was neither too tall, neither was he too short. And it said that physically, his height, I mean the height of Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was mediocre. He was neither too tall, nor was he short. It said that he was extremely handsome. And he was always clean, always perfumed. And he was also extremely kind. Putting these things to aside, it's mentioned about his intelligence. No doubt, when he was a child, we've heard of his wisdom and his intelligence. Imagine that intelligence that he possessed as to when he grew up. And it's said that from amongst his students, and it's mentioned in Dur-e Mukhtar, that amongst his students were the great Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham, Hazrat Shafiq Bilhi, Hazrat Ma'ruf Karkhi, Hazrat Abul Yazid Bustami, Hazrat Fudail bin Ayyad, Hazrat Dawood Tai. He said his students were also Hazrat Abu Hamid al-Lufaf, Hazrat Khalf bin Ayyub, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Hazrat Waqi' bin al-Jarrah, Hazrat Abu Bakr al-Warraq. These prodigious scholars, these giants, were from and amongst the students of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So if these were from the students of Imam Azam, then we can imagine the status of Imam Azam, Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Abu Hanifa himself. He said there's another story about an atheist. Now, Imam Azam radiallahu anhu was a great debater. He said about an atheist that some atheists, that they came to Kufa. This is where Imam Azam radiallahu anhu lived. And they asked the Muslims, that they said to them that we would like to debate you. And the governor of Kufa, he stipulated Imam Azam radiallahu anhu, and he said that Imam Azam, you should debate this person. Again, the place and the time as to where they should debate was fixed, and when the time came for them, for the debate to happen, for the debate to proceed, it said that all the people, they all gathered together at the stipulated place. That all the people gathered together, and also the atheists were there and they were ready. Now, everyone was there, but Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the people, they were wondering as to where is, they were even quite anxious, that where is our Muslim leader, or where is that Muslim who's going to defend the rest of us? Where is our Muslim debater? Where is Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu? So the atheists are waiting, the Muslims are also waiting. Some time goes by, and then suddenly Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he arrives at the congregation. And he said that the atheists, they begin to criticize Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. They say to him that, we have fixed a time and place, what sort of Muslim are you? Why is it that you have come late when we have fixed a time that we will debate at this time or such and such a time, and look how late you have come, you have kept us all waiting. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, the great Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, okay, now let me provide my excuse. Let me tell you as to the reason why I have come late. He gives the reason. He says that when I was going to come to this gathering to debate you, what happened was is that between my house and this place, there is a river. And the only way in which I can cross the river is by means of a boat or something to cross the river with, a boat. But because everybody had already arrived here, I was not able to come. So I was waiting, and I waited by the waterside, I waited by the river. And I waited and I waited. And then suddenly I saw that a tree, it had ripped itself, or it had taken its roots out of the ground. And it had laid on the floor. And then this tree, all of its own accord, this tree all by itself, it cut itself into pieces of planks. And after becoming pieces of planks, it actually joined together again. But this time, fashioning itself into the shape of a boat. It then made its way to the water and presented itself in front of me. And after doing this, I stepped in the boat. And this boat, all by its own accord, again passed or across the river. And now, alhamdulillah, here I am. And I have arrived at the congregation. I have arrived at the place we had fixed for the debate. Now the people listening to this, they were shocked. They were you know, taken aback. They were, you know, is this person telling a joke? That's what they thought of him. He's the atheist. They thought, what is this person on about? They say to him, how is it possible for a tree to rip itself out of the roots, then to break itself into pieces of planks, then to form itself into a boat and to bring you here and to transport you here? How is this? This is ridiculous. How could this possibly, how is this even possible? Imam Azam radhiallahu anhu, he replies. He says, see, that you claim that this tree, it could not rip itself out of the ground. That you claim that this could not break itself into pieces. This could not simply form a boat. So then how is it possible for the skies, for the heavens, for the clouds, for the plants and the trees and the animals and the humans and every type of creation, the planets, how is it possible that each and every one of these, or everything, how is it possible that these somehow came to being on their own? Isn't this just as ridiculous? Isn't this just as preposterous? And again, by the answer of Imam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu anhu, the atheists couldn't give any answer to this, and this left them humiliated. But he said that Sayyidina Ali al-Hajwari radhiyallahu anhu, he states in his book Al-Kashf al-Mahjub that Hazrat Yahya bin Ma'az Razi radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once I saw in my dream the greatest of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he says that, meaning Hazrat Yahya bin Ma'az Razi radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream, I asked him, I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where shall I search for you? That, Ya Rasulullah, where can I find you? Where shall I search for you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Inda ilmi Abi Hanifa." He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you would like to search for me, then search for me, عِنْدَ عِلْمِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ, with the knowledge or through the knowledge of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. This was Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said about his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it was so much that when he would stand for prayer, he would cry, and he would cry so much that tears would fall, and you could hear his tears hitting against the floor. And no doubt we are discussing such great individuals where if we were to spend days, it would still not pay justice to their lives. Sayyidina Imam Azam radhiyallahu anhu is mentioned that he performed Hajj 55 times throughout his lifetime. And it said that when he went to perform Hajj for the last time, the keepers, upon his request, the keepers of the Holy Kaaba, they opened for him the Bab al-Kaaba, the door to the Kaaba. And he said that he prayed two raka'at between the two pillars. And within just those two cycles, those two units of prayer, it said that Imam Azam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, now listen to this, Imam Azam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, within those two raka'at, he completed the whole Qur'an. Subhanallah. This was how much Qur'an Imam Azam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu would read. And he said that after praying that he was busy, or he remained busy supplicating, doing dua. And he continued doing dua and he continued doing dua. So much so that then he heard a voice from the corner of the Kaaba which said that your efforts have been recognized and you have served sincerely. We have pardoned you and also the ones who will follow you up until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, from this we come to understand the greatness of Imam Azam radhiyallahu anhu, that even during his lifetime, even upon praying, he is immediately even giving an answer. Not only is he giving an answer, but he has been promised to be pardoned on the day of judgment. And not only Imam Azam radhiyallahu anhu himself, but also all those individuals who follow in his footpath, all those who are the followers of the great Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu anhu. And then he said that after going to Hajj, he went to the greatest of places. He went to visit the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to the great city of Madinat al-Munawwara. He said that when he visited the blessed resting place of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Assalamu alayka ya Sayyid al-Mursaleen." And subhanallah, just listen to this. Imam Azam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, after saying this, after portraying his salam to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it said that he got a reply. And what was the reply? The reply was, "Wa alaykum as-salam ya Imam al-Muslimin." That "and peace also be upon you," from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, "that peace also be upon you, who ya Imam al-Muslimin," or the Imam of the Muslims. Subhanallah. An answer given by the greatest of mankind, the Prophet ﷺ himself, calling him Imam al-Muslimin. Without doubt, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, this Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu anhu, he was no doubt a beautiful and an immaculate, a prodigious scholar, a prodigious individual. There's no doubt about this. And the time for our silsila has unfortunately finished. And I would like to end here. But my dear Islamic brothers, I invite you to regularly watch Madinah channel and to inshallah next, watch the next silsila inshallah, in which we will again discuss the life or the biography of another saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our series of the adornment of saints. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.